The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cotolo.
Mozart is not here.
Stop it!
I am!
Stop it!
I am stopping it!
Stop it!
I am! I am!
Stop
I am! I am! I'm stopping it! Slowly. There. You see? I've stopped. Now we're going back.
No!
Yes, yes!
No!
Listen, you don't know where you are. Here, everything goes backwards. People walk backwards, and dance backwards, and sing backwards, and even talk backwards.
That's stupid.
Why? People fart backwards.
Oh, ha ha.
Sam, I'm sick.
Yes, you are. You are very sick.
No, say it backwards, shitwit. Sam, I'm sick.
Sick. Kiss, I'm my... saw. Kiss my ass.
Emiram.
No, I'm just not playing
it's
this
serious.
Game.
Emiram.
No!
Say it, you'll see, it's very serious.
Emiram? Marry you. Marry me. No, I'm not going to marry you. You're a fiend.
Oui, volai tub. Oui, volai tub.
Tub? But... I vol love, but I love you.
Tishanti.
What?
Tishanti.
Tishanti. T. Eat.
Eat.
I'm. Okay.
My.
Eat my shit. You filthy fish! You filthy fish!
My music. They've started without me.
Down some serious sound.
Here we go again.
told. Shake that thing.
Look, God!
Work it. Work it. Shake that thing.
Godfather of internet radio. That's right. No million podcast downloads have I. Just me and you. Not just that, but I'm the bard of broadcasting. Perhaps you'd like to just roll that around your mouth for a while. Bard of broadcasting. The third man, the vegetable man, it's me, and I'm here. Frank Cotolo, man, his name adorns the title of the show. Come on, let's chronicle. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. Speaking to you once again from the hallowed studio here in unreported places. It's me, Knarf Olatok. That's right. As Amadeus Mozart would call me, Knarf Olatok, bard of the interweb, king of the web, pilgrim of productive? Did I? Productive? Alternative broadcasting? Who put productive in there? Indeed, the most fascinating vegetable man and third man. The third vegetable. Here, I'll mix them up. Wait a second. It's me, Frank Cotolo, bard of alternative broadcasting, the godfather of the web, the vegetable third, the third vegetable man, the fascinating bard of internet godfathers. See what you can do? Why can you do it? Because you can do it. That's why you don't hear this kind of stuff anywhere else. Not even on podcasts. Today I heard about a podcast, which is why I brought up that incredible number, 173 million downloads? A podcast that what? 173 million? You know, I never aimed for a mass audience with this, because I knew I would never be able to get a mass audience. I knew that it's just going to be special people. Now, that doesn't mean the people who don't listen aren't special. Well, I mean, they're different, so they're special. They're unique. Mass audiences must have common threads throughout each and every person. So the more you get, the more people, the more they are alike. That's the equation of commercial radio. Here goes my voice. Gotta go. Good night. No, I'm here. Right? The more people, the more common, the more numbers, the more common each person, the more they have in common, the more I'd even say the simpler they are, because something has to be simple to appeal to mass audiences. It has to be simple. It can't be complicated. If it's complicated, if it's different, if it goes off beat, then you only have special audiences. By special, I mean smaller. I mean unique even to one another, as opposed to a mass audience. See? What should I have stuck in there? This is Cthulhu Chronicles. I never did jingles. I never had jingles. I mean, jingles for commercials. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, my name is Frank Cthulhu, or Knarf Olatok. This is, when you say, can I say Cthulhu Chronicles backwards? Say Chronicles? I can't figure that one out at the top of my head. Knarf Chronicles. No, that wouldn't be Knarf. That'd be Frank. Olatok. So, you want me to do it? You want me to do it right now? We have time. This is my show. Do whatever I want. If I want to figure out how to say part of the title of my show backwards, I can. Let's see. C-H-O-R-R-O-N-I-C-L-E-S is S-E-L-C-I-N-O-R-H-C. Hey, that H-C. Okay. Selcineric. Olatok. Selcineric. Olatok. Well, wait a second. Chronicles would come first if it's completely backwards, right? Okay, so here's the name of the show as Mozart would say it in his backwards fun time. Selcinor. I got last C's got to be silent. Selcinor Olatok. Welcome to Selcinor Olatok. I'm gonna make a different blog. Selcinor. Where is it? Selcinor. Anyway. All that has to do with Mozart. That was in the collage, which wasn't much of a collage. It's that short collage that opened this show, along with the theme and all that junk. Wake Up It's Night was a portion, short portion of the movie Amadeus. A Best Picture in 1912. And the name of the person, Tom Hulse. Is it Hulse or Hulse? Tom Hulse. Did he win? I think he won an Oscar. What the heck? Who knows? I don't even know where he went. Doesn't call anymore. Anyway, the movie Amadeus, which is about Mozart, who is a wacko, as most geniuses are. Now he did incredible music that was different from the music, and yet he got a vast audience because it was brilliant. That's a whole nother story. I'm just talking about mass audience stuff, never brilliant in its debut. Once people get used to something, that's a different story. But in that scene from Amadeus, he's speaking backwards to the woman that he will marry. You didn't see the scene, obviously. You just heard the soundtrack. So you didn't know they were rolling under a table and he was mouthing her nubials. I forgot the... it's not nubial, is that? I forgot the exact... he was mouthing her areolas. Let's look at that one. Hey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Hey, well, said the Italian man cook. Hey, we're going to have a nice baked areola. Good baked areola, nothing like it. So he said it backwards because he was a little crazy. So that's where I got the backwards thing, why I called myself Knarf, and then figured out. I knew Knarf Olatok. Everyone should know how to say their name backwards. And I think it's about time you learned if you don't know yet. Figure it out. Just phonetically pronounce it. Put your last name first and first name last. This is how they do it in Japan anyway. In Japan, they don't say their first name first. Well, then it's not their first name. You're going, no. Their given name. Let's call it a given name. Given name comes last. And they don't put a comma in there. They say their family name, then they're a given name. So this is what you do. You do this. You take your name and you spell it out and then underneath that, unless you could do this in your head, I can't. Then spell it out and pronounce it. But pronounce your last name, family name, before. And then you come up with that. Now you can do it with anything like I just did. You're listening to Selchenork Olatok. Selsin, I gotta get used to saying Chronicles. I didn't know and I didn't, I just learned it. Selsinork, I'm gonna say Selsinork Olatok. You're listening to Selsinork Olatok with me, Knarf Olatok. See? You should learn. Even if you don't have a show, learn to do it and you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You go to a party, you know what's going to happen. People are going to think you're high because that's such a go-to explanation for things. I've been doing this show for like 20 years and people said, you're high. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Which is an incomplete sentence, but what do you want? Thinking because it was different, because it did not have this mass appeal. No way to, you get 173 million downloads on a podcast. Well, let me tell you something else though, why that's not as amazing as it used to be. Because when podcasts became popular, they weren't as popular. They weren't so popular that 173 million people could download it. Because there weren't 173 million people able to download or have a pod, because you had to have an iPod, and you had, so, you know, now it's simple because, what is it? It's gotta be near what, 80, 90%? Well, first of all, everybody has a phone, so forget about logging onto the internet, because you could do that on a phone. So, the amount of people that don't have a phone are now outnumbered by the people who do have smartphones. So, there's an availability that there wasn't before. Because not everybody had the hardware or the software or the underwear for that matter. So that's it. But still, 173 million downloads means that whatever they were talking about, I'm not going to go into what they were talking about because it was, but I got to tell you, it was very appealing to everyone. No, I'm sorry. It was appealing to the majority, and the majority, the audience, okay, in numbers. So it appealed to them. I'll give you the example. I heard about it. I saw the little report about it on the news. This lady who's a news reporter, and she had a topic that attracted 173 million. What is that? Oh, that's my, you know what, that was my hot cross bun coming up on me. Yeah, because it's, I'm not a religious person, but this is a time of the year when you eat hot cross buns. I did. I grew up eating them. it's a cake of the series. Cake of the series. There's a phrase. So I didn't go get the download. I don't want to hear the download. Just the little report on the news was enough for me. And I was already watching the news for other reasons. But people who heard about this downloaded, 173 million of them downloaded this podcast. Now she's not going to get how many million is she going to get? You see, what will happen is next time she does she's been doing podcasts for a long time, but she never got 173 million. I don't know if she ever got a million. This particular thing just went, as they say, viral. Wow, we were saying all these terms well before everybody knew these terms that well on Selkinork Olatok. My name is Knarf Olatok. Hey, you're right though. You're right though. I just said something to myself. Why don't I say Olatok Knarf? Because my first, right? I didn't even follow my own rules. Rules are made to be broken, and I sure broke it. All right, then say it's frontwards. I mean, look, just the fact that you do it would be amazing to me. And you're a special bunch, you are, people, because you listen here to Selchenork Olatok. Or who is Olatok Knarf, or Knarf Olatok. I know it's confusing, but I think I know I can't produce the kind of music that Mozart, who could? No one could. Look at all the years in between there. Imagine how many downloads some of his music would have gotten if there wasn't anything else except, if that was like the main thing on a smartphone. They had smartphones back then, right? You see, you can't mix and match history and the things that happened in those particular times. You can't do it. Wake up, it's night. It's really, really night. And it's, you know, it's really, really dark. There's a couple of things. And the Amadeus thing came up, the Mozart thing came up, because I'm going to talk about something. Speaking of writing, I'm going to talk about this. Music. Oh, what is that? Oh, I could get rid of that. Get rid of Amadeus. This musical cryptography, where composers... And it started back then. The classical music was pop music back then. Pop music. It was pop music. Today, you know, long hairs, you see people, the way they were dressed and this, that, and the other thing. That's because the culture was different. Okay. But it was pop music. And the stars, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, I'm trying to think of these guys. I'm trying to think of some rap names. The Snoopy Dogs, Snoopy Dogs, and they got great names, don't they? Those guys, and the gals, the Briannas and the Rihannas, and the Britney Spears. They were the men, they were all men, of course. There were no women classical musicians. I mean, there were musicians, there were, yeah, because they played. Played live. They didn't have records. They didn't have recordings. They didn't have anything. It's just memory. That's what they had. Their own memory. Not the memory they stuck into a computer. They didn't have a computer. Those guys, the Mozarts, the Beethovens, the Chopins. Chopins later, though. Anyway, those were the pop stars, the musicians, not the composers, not the musicians. Well, this cryptography, it is cryptical, but it's musical cryptography. The composers hiding messages in their melodies and in that music. So we're going to go through that, going to learn about that. It's a hot new item. It's not an item, is it? It's a hot new... Maybe it's only a theory. I don't know. But we'll find out when we go through the article and talk about those various things. Also want to go back a bit. I thought this was just so sweet and funny and crazy. Because, you know, we do that. People have asked me about Ray Cotolo, my son, who Yar Olatok. Yar Olatok. People have asked me about Yar. Yeah, why? What would that be? Y-A-R. Yar. Yar Olatok. People have asked me about Yar Olatok because he's on here once in a while, and because I have said to you, all of you, that he is the heir apparent to Selchinork Olatok. And he and I talked about when he was on this show when he was younger, the last time he was on the show. That won't be the last time he's on the show. What I mean is the most recent time he was on the show. That's what we talked about. We did mention it and brought it up because he was such a little kid and completely different. Well, I'm looking for this particular, show, because somebody asked me about the music show, and I said this is a good time to do this show, do live, and then do part of it. Go back to the Music in the Brain. If I could find that, I didn't. I'm gonna have to look for it mostly on the air. I'm saying because it's too late. I'm here. I'm on. I gotta do this. You know. The Brain Music from April 21st, 2011. Now, here's what I discovered when I was listening, going, well, let's see where this starts, where the topic starts. So I don't have to play the whole show from 2011. But in 2011, For some reason or another, and I don't recall this at all, Ray Gattolo, that's Yar Olatok, was on the show. He was here with me in April. But, yes, I don't, he was, okay, but he was, what, 11? Was he 11 years old? Yeah, he was 11 years old. And there's a marked difference for anyone when you're 11 and then you're 18. That does a great 7 years of development that goes on there. Not just legally, because you're 18 and you become legal. But, well, I love that, putting that big line on the sonoscope. Is that what it's called? I don't even know what that's called. Look at that. Okay. Let's get back to, I have to amuse myself while I do this. Give me a break. In 2011, April 21st, I'm going to play some of this for you in a bit. Yar Olatok was here, and we were talking about 2012, the end of the world. I did not remember this at all. I went to this particular two-hour show because I wanted to find the part about the brain and music. I'm going to talk about music cryptography. Come on, stay. You know how this works. You've been at the show before. Just hang in there. Don't think about time. Time is irrelevant, and it is irreverent. Okay? It's now. So stay with me. So I decided, you know what? I want to play this little bit of Yar Olatok. And he sounded so different. And you people should get used to this because, as my mother would say, if God spares, you know, every time there are religious holidays, I think about my parents who have passed away many years ago. But I think about them because I spent my holidays and we were, you know, a Catholic family, so to speak. I didn't put quotes in that. And these holidays were always big family things, you know, even though 90% of the family had no idea what was going on. It's Easter. It's what? Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, Holy Saturday, end of Lent. Well, my mother used to say, if God spares, Ray will be doing this show when I decide to walk off on Thursday nights. And there's a number of things that will, conspire, situations that will conspire to make that possible. So it's not like next week or the week after. So don't wait for an announcement. When it happens, it happens. But we are closer to that in the history of the show than we are anything else behind us, because that's like 20 years. We're not going to go here another 20 years. If we went here another 20 years, think about it. Even if I was able to, okay, I would be doing the show. I'd be almost 90. Now I can't fathom that in the first place. So shut up. I'm telling myself. So Ray is 11. I guess going on 11, so he's 10 in April. I gotta go to the time of this. Oh, wait, 17? What did I say? I said it's 17 minutes and 47, into it. So once it's, 17, let's go a little bit more. I'm gonna try to cue it up here. Oh, he's 17, 16. Oh, that's too, that's not enough. You don't know what I'm doing, right? Oh, and that's too much. Oh, he's 17, 32. That's pretty close, right? I could do this. I could mute it and go right to that moment. I'm like, can I do that? Can you hear? Yeah, I can do that. Look. Yeah, I can. No one will hear it, right? No one's hearing it. I'll go to 17, what? 47 and stop. One, two, count with me. Three, four, five, six, seven. There you go. Now I stopped it right where I should. And then I put the volume back up because I'm a radio guy and I know how to do this. Ding. Hey, Hi, how are you? Fine, he says. Okay, one for yes and two for no. Are you the sound man? Okay. Do you have arms? No, he does not have arms. The sound man. Are you going to help me? Good. I want you to be loud enough. Do you think that I'm now, you think it's loud enough at this moment? Oh, I should put it louder? Okay, let me just do it a little bit more. How's that? Okay, you like that? That'll be loud enough because this is, and it's like a horse. You know, beat your, you tell the horse, the trick horse, the trained horse, pound once for, that's cowboy thing, right? Pound once for yes, two for no. Anyway. So Ray and I, you like that. He likes that. You like that, don't you? Okay. Ray and I, were talking, about the end of the world. Cause if you remember 2012, there's a movie. They made a movie about it after 2012. This was 2011 and we were coming into 2012. So I'm going to do that right after I tell you a few things because we're here. And this is, what is it? No, no one remember. I don't remember. I still have to read it. You know, I don't want you to get used to this. Selchenork Olatok. My name is Knarf Olatok. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. That's true. It still does. If the show is called Selchenork Olatok and I'm Knarf Olatok, then my name adorns the title of the show just the same way. Next week, April is here. If you're listening, I'm not going to go through that live thing anyway, live stream, because if you're listening to this, let's just say this, the next show, which is live on April 5th and repeated through many, many other stations after that. I don't know how many, you go look it up. I stopped counting a long time ago. Marla Martinson will be back. She has done, if all things go right, again. Shouldn't say that though, because you just should go along as if, right? That's my mother too. If God spares, as my mother would say, if God spares, Marla Martinson will be here and she will have my angel reading. I was given when she was on the show and we talked and had a lot of fun. And she told me about all the stuff that she does in the spiritual world and matchmaking. She said she would give me a free angel reading. Now, this is good for you to listen to, and I'll tell you why also. And that is, if you listen and like the angel reading, yours won't be for free. Unless I do something to give, like, a contest. But I don't like contests, and it never works out. So, well, here's the thing. You could go to MarlaMartinson.com, find out how you can get, I believe, she said $15. I'm getting a free one because I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show, and she's on my show, and I'm promoting her by being here. So nothing. But if you want any, if you really like what she says, she'll go to a special, I guess it's a special angel. You are my special. Remember that? No, you don't. You can go get your own reading. Pay for it. Pay Marla. However she does it on her website, and she'll give you an angel reading. But this will be fun. Live on the 5th of April, the angel reading. So she'll be here, Marla. I don't have specifics for other guests after that in April because people are doing things and they're living their lives. Bless them all. As I go along, we'll find out. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com has various information like that. Various information like that? No, it has that information. And you could go back to, the archives are there. If you want to go see the things that we wrote about, there's a lot of weird stuff that went on from the beginning of that blog. And there's other stuff to read and there's things. We don't do all that anymore because I live a life. It's busy. And because I've done this show through tumultuous times, this show has been the constant. I don't talk about myself a lot. This show has been the constant in my life for 20 years. Lots of other things have changed. Lots of things that were not pleasant. lots of changes that were not pleasant. Near death. Sickness. All sorts of stuff. Bad. All good things happened too, but, you know, it was a struggle. The show came on through all that. In with every emotional tornado, every mind frickin' cyclone, every sickness, every virus, Thursday nights, right here, one way or another. So take your 173 million podcast downloads and shove them in your garage. And I'm still allowed to say anything I want to say, and I don't. I hold back because that's just, you know, I don't do that for show. I don't do that for show. So this will be here. And if you'd like to hear something from the past, from the archives, we have many shows. We don't have all of them. We have many shows from, I guess, 2007 on. I don't know. I'll look it up. And you might not know because you didn't listen, so you might think to yourself a topic. Maybe we talked about it over the years. Generic, not necessarily eventful, because we did not stay with the times and comment or, you know, about many things that were happening at the time. We looked at pop culture and its impression upon mankind. And we did. But if you think of a topic and you say, I know, I didn't finish that sentence. Okay, fine. So if you want to see, so let's see, you would like to know if we did a show on any particular topic. You know what you can do? Wait a second. I'm going to put two and two together and get four. Here's what you do. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Scroll through the months and you'll see every Thursday dated on that blog. You will see what you'll be able to read about what that show, what topic that show generally approached. Because as I told you, and as you know, we go down rabbit holes and up palm trees. So you would be able to see and say, hey, you do have this show. Hey, here's a show you did on transistor radios. I don't know. You know, what is a transistor radio? See, that's what I'm saying. Guests. There were guests. Then you write to me, fcotolo@yahoo.com, and you say, I saw on your blog that you did this show. Can you find that and rerun it inside of one of your live shows as I'm doing now? So this is technically not a repeat. We used to call them repeats. Now they call them, what do they call them? I guess they still call them repeats. Okay. Okay. But I did want to do this. I want to play this piece from Ray. It's Ray is 11 and two. Oh, he's a, yes, right. He was 11. See, I stopped because, wait, was it 2011? Yes, he was 11 in 2011. Makes him a millennial, all right? Already, doesn't it? Yeah. Maybe a generation. Why? I don't know. I don't care either. I'll tell you this much. I don't. My name is Knarf Olatok. I'm Frank Cotolo, man of name and tone title. This is Cotolo Chronicles. I'm chronicling. So there's that. Next week, Marla again. And the angel reading, you finding anything you want to do. And while you're doing that, go buy some of my books. I want to thank the people, whoever those people might be, who are buying some of these books, because I hear about it. You know, and it's, I don't, you know, I'm not making $1 million over this, or nor am I getting 173 million. But you know that 173 million downloads, maybe she has a sponsor and they're happy. I don't know what she makes off of that. If she made $1 a download, she would have gotten $173 million. What the heck is the tax bracket on that? It's tax time in the United States. Oh no, it's tax time everywhere. Tax time in North America. All right. Back to the point. Go through, this is 2 and 2 is 4. Go through. If you want to do this, you don't want to do it and just want to play this by ear. I don't care. I'm trying to make it easy for you if you want to. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Scroll through years, pick a year, do it at random. I don't care. And see, hey, you go, and then put the date of that show in your email. The subject can be anything, like, hey, Frank, or, oh, you, or, hey, hello, hey, jerk face, whatever you want. Put that into the subject, and then in the text, say, do you have the show? You don't have to tell. I'll know you went to the blog, so you don't have to say it. Dear Frank, I went to your blog just as you said. Forget it. Just say, how about the show from July 10th, 2013? Or how about the show from August 5th, 2009? Whatever. I'm just making this up. I'm just wearing whatever one you want. I'll look it up and we'll put it inside of one of our shows as we record it live. So, and this is all, it's good to do because there were so many great shows. You know, this has nothing to do with the fact that Yar Olatok is going to take over and I'm, you know, not here. It has to do with the fact that we've changed audiences so many times over the past 2 decades, that there are people listening now who go, you did a show on that? Geez, I'm sorry I missed it. Well, you know, we'll give you the bulk of it. So do that. And keep buying the books. Thank you very much for loving the books. Some are funny, some are serious, but I know you enjoy them. And by God, they're worth the couple of bucks that you get. One more thing before I play this, young Ray, young Yar, that's this. If you are, when you are listening to the stream live, this show, when you're listening to, then I gotta say it, I gotta look at it again. Like, because I don't know. When you're listening to Selkinork Olatok live or evil. Hey, live backwards is evil. When you're listening to it evil, then most of the time immediately afterwards, when we end, comes Savino Veritas. Yes, thank you. That was him right there. Mr. Savino Veritas. Mr. Thomas Savino will be here. And I will lead you into his show immediately following my show. And please, stations, station alert. You too can run Savino Olatok. You too can run Savino Veritas. And it's free. The other archives of recent shows are at juicetalk.com. Juicetalk.com. By the way, Yar Olatok is on Tuesday nights on the Four Culture YouTube live show, along with the artist D and others. I was on that show for a while, and I left. That's all you're going to hear. For the rest, maybe, you know, they didn't pick it up at the National Enquirer. Let's listen to what Ray talked about, because when Ray was talking about the end of the world, don't change. On April, on April 21st, 2011, here's us on tape. And listen, if you've heard Ray recently, or you hear him on his show, or you follow him on Twitter and see some of his videos, or hear some of his jokes, or whatever it is he does, You like that one? Because I don't know. We don't brand things here. Then you're going to know this is a younger. I said it twice. Don't do that. This is a younger Ray. Sweet guy. And he was on the show. And okay, forget it. Let's go back. They'll go into the Wayback Machine. I should have a soundtrack, right? A sound effect, right? Which is stupid. That just sounds like a Native American from a bad movie. Here we are.
So, I want to tell you about something else. Speaking of chronicling, I announced this last week, and I keep announcing it now, even though we're over a year away. I'm announcing this and talking about this because I want to make sure that everybody hears it here first. This is going to be the most copied format. This is going to be the most, and I know you heard it first right here, because last week we talked about it. We're going to do it. I found out some details. Here's the details, okay? On December 21st of 2012, according to the Mayan calendar, the world is going to end. And I think that's because, now I don't know if the movie has any bearing to the actual legend that the Mayans know, but the sunspots are going to explode or what have you. And it's going to cause the Earth, the core of the Earth, the nucleus of the Earth, that little round thing in the middle, like the nut of the Earth, the inner core of the Earth, made of solid, what is it made of?
Iron
and nickel. No dimes, no quarters. Iron and nickel. And it's going to get hotter and hotter, and that's going to change the surface of the surface, right? Is that it? Come over here and talk, because tell me exactly what's going to happen.
Well, that doesn't really make much sense, because since the outer core is molten iron and nickel, and then, I mean, it's got to go through the mantle then, and the asthenosphere, and the lithosphere is a bunch of hard, solid rock below the crust. It just doesn't make much sense that the inner core would expand that much, and then the whole Earth would just be a molten fireball as it was 4 billion years ago.
And I guess the thing that wonders is, like, how would these dumb Indians know about it? Right? These guys out in Mexico, know that this? Wait, hold on a second. Let's make sure we can hear you talking. That one.
We really don't know if that's when they say the world is going to end. It may be like when they think a change in the world will happen.
Well, that's a big change if the world comes. But,
yeah.
I thought the calendar says the world's going to end.
Well, I've heard many theories that, like, one said the Earth was going to end, one was going to say a big change was going to happen to the world, but, I mean, we really don't know.
What do you mean? Well, of course we don't know, but what do you mean one said and another said? You mean one Mayan Indian said to the other? Two Mayan Indians walk into a bar. One guy says, you know what, I think the world's going to end. He goes, no, the world's going to change. How do they talk? How do you speak Mayan anyway? Do you not speak Mayan?
No.
Okay, so tell us now what you're saying. What's supposed to happen?
Well, 2012... many scientists and Indians are going to say the world's going to end. And I
used to play that when I was a kid. I used to like, come on over to us. We're going to play scientists and Indians. I want to be, what do you want to be, the scientist or the Indian? I don't know.
But I've also heard from, like, many religious people how that they say that 2012 will be an oracle on how the Earth is going to change.
And make no mistake about this. My son Ray here, who's 12, talks to many religious people during the week. It's like us. It's like a lot of kids go out. They play football. My kid finds religious people and talks to them, and they talk about the oracle. Okay, and the Odyssey and the Oracle.
It's just they say that the world is either going to change or the minds.
Well, the world is always changing anyway, but this is a giant change because the sun is right. So then why are they so excited if it's just going to change?
Well, me personally, I thought they just...
Okay, I didn't ask you personally. I'm asking you to tell me what the Mayans said.
I don't know. I don't know any of the Mayans.
Okay, so he doesn't know about the Mayans anyway.
I think that 2012, they just didn't think they really needed to make a calendar anymore.
Well, you know what? It's all come to the test. On Friday... I'm asking all of the stations that carry Cotolo Chronicles, and even more, to be here. We're going to find out the time, based on the Mayan calendar, when the world is going to end, and we're going to be on a couple hours before. And we're all going out together. I said this is going to be the greatest broadcast of all time. Now, a lot of other people, this guy Piers, what is his name? The guy who took over Larry King's, Piers Brosnan? No, it's not Piers, no, some other guy. Prize Fighter or whatever his name is. Priz Guestman. All these people are going to do it. Maury is probably going to do DNA tests on people. And he's going to bring back Connie Chung, and she's going to be on. And Oprah's going to, the OWN network. I'm telling you, I'm telling you this because I want you to know what happened right here first. So by the time it comes to the end, you'll know that I didn't say, everybody's going to go, what end of the world broadcast are you going to? They're going to go, where are you going for the end of the world? Is that good? I'm going to listen to what, Oprah? I go to the OWN channel, right? Or go to the Sprout. Maybe there'll be a special Thomas the Tank Engine end of the world show. I don't know. Or maybe something, you know. But people are going to go, you know where I'm going? I'm going to Cthulhu Chronicles, because throughout the history of the internet, Cthulhu Chronicles has been the number one talk show, the pioneer of alternative broadcasting. That's where I want to be when it's all over. And I want you to go out with me. Let's all go out together. It's like Hands Across America. We're all going to go out together. And you know what? If those Mayans are wrong, if they were wrong, we're going to prove them wrong once and for all right here. And that's what's going to happen. So do you think, what is it? Do you think you have something?
I mean, the Earth is 4 billion years old. The sun is probably older than that, but I mean, 2012, that just seems like too soon for the Earth, as it's still really young, because to me it seems like it can go for another like couple billion years.
That's true, but you know, when Lincoln was shot, he was only what, 50 something? Everybody thought Lincoln was going to live longer too.
But that was in the 1800s, and then the guy was like Daniel Booth. I forget his name. Daniel Booth and not Daniel Boone.
Daniel Booth. This kid talks with scientists and he knows about Mayan. He just explained to you. He explained to you the various cores on the inside of the Earth. The cores, the Lichen sphere, and he knew that, okay. But he thinks the guy who shot Lincoln was Daniel Booth. Okay, so, you know, what can you say? You want to believe what you want to believe, you do it.
Hey,
you're here at Cthulhu Chronicles.
We're
going to chronicle.
Yeah,
you aced it. You aced the test, right? Well, if you happen to have a test on the Civil War, after the Civil War, and you say Daniel Booth, you're gonna be in trouble. Who his brother was? Telephone. Telephone Booth. That's right. We're going to have this end of the world broadcast right here. That'll be Friday. I'm going to find out the exact hour, and we're going to be on a couple hours before that, Friday. So it's already going to be the 21st. It'll actually be in the 20th. It'll be on, because I don't know exactly how it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to end here first, there, because it's going to be the 20th. A lot of you people listening in England, on our great British stations, and of course our server's over there anyway. So if the world ends and we're over here and it's the 20th and it's the 21st over there, we're going to get our act together. It's going to be great. And you know what's really going to be great? It's really going to be great if, in fact, we wind up living through it. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
Like, as the Mayans say, 2012 is the end of the world. Other people said Y2K was the end of the world, and hundreds of times before that. So, I mean, it's just, it's probably about less than a 1% chance that they're right. Because we've been saying all this stuff on, like, how the world's gonna end in like 1982 or 2005, and so far we have not been right. We're still here today, as God is my witness.
God is, in fact, his witness. When he talks to those scientists, God watches. You know, he's right about that, though. Constantly, every year, another foreseer or foresayer.
Yeah.
Was it soothsayer, tooth puller, and so it's always, you know, saying, well, this is the year the world will end. But I guarantee you, okay, on that night, we will be here, and you will be hearing this right before it's time for the end. You will be hearing this. Right? Here we go. Let's be forgotten. Look what happened. What happened? I know we lost the entire, look at that, we lost the entire thing. Well, that wasn't any good. How did that happen? I know, we had a glitch. Look at that, we lost every file we had that we were going to do there. So what we're going to have to do as I speak is we're going to have to go back now and pick that up. I know we have it somewhere here. And put that back in here. And you'll be hearing that. You'll also be hearing, you'll be hearing this.
What became of your lamb, Glory?
I killed him.
You still wake up sometimes, don't you? Wake up in the dark. Hear the screaming of the lamb.
Okay. Oh God, I don't want to even start and try to tell you or to explain to you the sensation of hearing him then. That's a Look, forget about that, okay? Wonderful. That was wonderful. And I'm going to start talking right after we take our brief hello, how are you? Everybody go get your beverage of choice as we get to the first hour. We're going to go into this music cryptography thing and hope it works. And what you're going to do is get yourself your beverage and dispose of bodily waste. No, wait. There's that word again. I went backwards. Actually, great millennial word. You're going to replenish your precious bodily fluids. Do you believe I blacked out on that one? Sure you do. You'll believe anything. By golly. Wow, that was great. I love his laugh too. Now don't get me wrong, it's great having, an 18-year-old Ray, but that 11-year-old Ray was, I think I told you too before, I don't want to go, forget it. You'll enjoy it. He has a show on racing on Friday nights if you're interested in harness racing up in Canada. And he'll be touring this year from track to track. He'll be going around with his two partners, Heckle and Jekyll. And, oh no, I'm sorry, Rod. Mike and Ron. No, Rod. It's Rod, not Ron. Is it Mike and Rod? And Ray. Mike and Rod and Ray. They're also on, that's on SRN Media Works Live Friday nights. And it's a lot of fun, and you could follow along. If you like to get into racing, you could do your wagering in your own and listen to these guys. They're fun. And once in a while I drop in. They don't want me to, but once in a while I drop in. Our name is Frank Catola. My name is Frank. Our name? My name is Frank Catola. My name is Joan Title Show. I am the Godfather of Internet Radio. And what else? Mr. Olatok, I'm going to go into this thing about music cryptography. I think I said it correctly. And then if we have time, I'll find the music. Then we might not have time anyway. We'll go into this and then come back. So go fill up your screwdriver. Your drinks, your stuff, or whatever. Come back. We'll have some classical music for you. And we'll talk about this thing. That's what we're going to do. Don't go away. arguably one of the most recognizable names in classical music. Ludwig van Beethoven has been mocked and ridiculed, personified, cartoonized, what kind of word is that? And yet when you hear something like this, not something like this, this Moonlight Sonata, a piano piece written in, I don't know, 1412 or something like that. It's timeless, so it doesn't matter. You gotta remember that this did not exist. Nothing like this existed. This was the pop music of the time. I think he wrote this while he could hear. Remember, Ludwig von Beethoven, I just call him Beethoven. Let's call him Ludwig. No, I don't like that Vig. I wonder if he had a nickname. Moonlight Sonata. I don't know if he was in Germany. He's German, wasn't he? I don't know a lot about Ludwig. I know this. He was at one point deaf. I don't know how he went deaf. Maybe he went swimming in cold water or something. And some people had, you could do that. You could go deaf that way. I don't know. I have no idea. But this came out of him in 1459. Actually, that's the time of the Moonlight Sonata. Play. I'm not going to play it for 14 minutes, but there you go. And I'm obviously talking over it. See if there's anything here that's, no, it doesn't say anything about it, really. You know, there's a Facebook page, facebook.com/9Beethoven. But you know what? Don't go to Facebook's. That's a whole nother story, right? Chopin Nocturne Toccata. Here are the names of some, right? Rossini. William Tell Overture, which of course we talked about when we did the Lone Ranger show and the Tonto show. Mozart's Requiem. Mozart's Little Bits of Night Music. Tchaikovsky. The 1812 Overture with the Canons. Wagner. Entry of the Gods into Valhalla. All of these and more. Bach, let's not forget. Johann Sebastian Bach. And you know, our theme song is by one of the Bach family. They just kept going. They just weren't always that popular. So let me talk to you about this. It's an article that came to my attention by Christina Ayeli Diosa. Out of the many tropes in TV and literature, espionage is one that spurs drama and intrigue for viewers and readers alike. A budding protagonist wants to convey a secret message in a letter or text, but must scramble the message so discreetly to avert the eager antagonist's gaze. Will the message send through securely? The suspense is always deadly and exciting. I edit and exciting. Just give or take here, okay? I'm sure that Christina would not mind. One unexpected form of transmitting such messages is through music. It's better known as music cryptography, which is a method in which the musical notes of the musical alphabet, which is A through G, the same A through G that exist in our Arabic alphabet, are used to spell out words, abbreviations, or codes. The secret writing appears as a plot point in something or other here. I'm going to go by that. The idea is this. Early 17th and 18th century mathematicians and cryptologists, such as John Wilkins and Philip Thicknesse. Thicknesse? That's his name. I never heard of him. He argued that music cryptography was one of the most inscrutable ways of transporting secret messages. They claimed that music was perfect camouflage because spies would never suspect music. When played, the music would sound so much like any other composition that musically trained listeners would be easily fooled, too. Okay, so they claim that music was perfect camouflage. I said that already. Okay, thickness. I can't believe. I don't know. I'm not pronouncing his name correctly, but I cannot believe that it's pronounced thickness. But let's do it. Thickness wrote a book in 1772. It's called a treat. The Art of Deciphering and of Writing in Cipher with the Harmonic Alphabet. That's A to G. For those who, that's not just A through G. It's A, B flat, B, C, D flat. Okay, it's all included in there, in between. A through G includes those. A lot of you people who know music know what I'm talking about. So, the book examined a suspected messenger would think of an old song without words in which perhaps the messenger's tobacco or snuff might be put. What? Would think of an old song without words in which, it contained a secret message. Written letters don't have this advantage. Thank you, Christina. I understand. So they have a picture here of the letters and how they worked this out. These guys. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Wait a second. This is the whole alphabet. I don't know what they mean. But point being, thickness added, I am persuaded an alphabet of musical notes may be so contrived that the notes shall not only convey the harmony, but the very words of the song, so that the music master may instruct his female pupil not only how to play upon an instrument, but how to play the fool at the same time. So what they're saying is, this is a conspiracy theory, okay? This is a very old conspiracy theory. To think that today people have concoctions and beliefs of conspiracy theories is outrageous. It's not that outrageous back then. People were different. They did not have the internet. There was no web. There were no iPhones, smartphones, iPads, podcasts. They had music. And someone thought, according to this, that, secret messages could go across. Someone would have to know the special alphabet. Once that was given up, whammo, the whole thing's crushed. But if you take, and I don't know if we can do this, I would love to, just pick a piece and try to see if it had a message in it. But listen to this. Here's what thickness did. Thicknessy? Thickna. Thickness. Thickness. Maybe it's thickness. I don't know. I know I'm saying it incorrectly, and I apologize to the estate of the thickness. Created an enciphering system that employs quarter and half notes with treble clef and key signature. He claimed his harmonic alphabet ensured strong encryption and expressed the words perfectly to the eye as they do the harmony to the ear. So he's saying someone's listening to this and they know the alphabet. And of course, they'd have to know the lyric. Wait a second. That means he's saying that anyone who's listening knows the notes. Not everybody has perfect pitch. Here's a rub already in this thing. And that is, if you're listening, how do you know unless you know the notes? And when you're listening to a song or a piece of music, you don't know the notes. And the notes could be in any key. Hey, wait a second. I think I've taken this whole thing and crumbled it into pieces. This conspiracy theory, this harmonic cryptography. Okay, let's see what he says first. He claimed the harmonic alphabet. Okay, perfect. He wrote of English philosopher Francis Bacon's music cipher technique. Francis Bacon, you'll remember. Right? It's like, well, what did Ray say in that? Booth? What was his name? Daniel Booth. It's like, here's what he did, okay? In a particular number of the notes A or B equate to each alphabet letter. So A, five A's translates to A. The method of secret writing is certainly the most ingenious ever invented. That's what he thought. It is highly AA. So what about five? Wait, let's listen. Wait, let's put this into our heads. It says the particular number of the notes A or B equate to each alphabet letter. The particular number of the notes A or B equate to each. So A. So if you play five A's on whatever instrument as part of the melody, that means A. Okay, so then what? So then B? I don't even get it. It is highly likely that messages using codes like that, if you could even understand it, the point is they were using this particular code, would go undetected, at least to an untrained eye and ear. To a trained eye, however, says Western Michigan University music professor David Code. Now wait a second, you can't make this up. His name is Code. The guy who's talking about this, his name is Code, C-O-D-E. Now, Christina, now this is suspect. This whole thing is suspect now. All right. David Code, according to him, a sequence of notes with a message hidden inside might provoke questions. Hello. Since the encryption system is not musical, the manuscript would look suspicious because it contains musical nonsense, said Code. If someone were to send music, in other words, you do have to look at the written music, the notes, the written music, the sheet that has all of the notes on it. Because you can't just listen to it unless you have perfect pitch. And besides, what key are they doing it in? Because keys were important. There was a minuet in B flat. Now, if you're in B flat, does that the same B flat you would use a B flat in the key of C? Some of you who know a little bit about music understand what I'm saying. The others have left and then turned the show off completely. Because that's how you turn it off. You turn it off completely. You can't turn it off part way. So here, Let's see if there's any more. Let's see if this makes any more sense. If someone to send Michael Haydn's 26th note motif, in which the lower bass clef G translates to A, then G sharp equals B. and so forth. Thank you, Mr. Code. The motif isolated its own on the music sheet, the motif would look disjointed when played. It might sound dreadfully boring in style. Here I have in front of me Michael Haydn's musical cipher of 1808. It's A, B sharp. That's a B sharp. A, B sharp, C flat, which is a C flat, which is a B, D natural, E sharp, which is an F, and then an F flat. What the hell? You're right. If I played this, it would look stupid. But what is the message? This music cipher, the one I was just talking about, supposedly proposed by Michael Haydn, it appears in an appendix of a biography about Haydn. Well, yeah, but what does it say? What's the message? The prime users of musical ink. Okay, so now, of course, we have to think, why were these composers sending messages? Or why was anyone deciding to send a message in a piece that would be terrible? So in other words, or in the very words I'm going to say right now, I played music like Moonlight Sonata, right? So let's go back to this here. Now you couldn't write that melody to make a, you wrote the melody without a message. In other words, that's not a message. did it. Or nor the regular one, the main part. This. One, two, three, one. See, that, there can be no cryptography in that. So what they're saying, what Thickness and Code and Christina are saying is that people would create the music specifically for it to be translated, so you would have to look at it. So in other words, and in the very words I was mentioning, someone would write down on a music sheet, instead of writing the words, they'd write the notes that were, could be encrypted into the words. And they would like walk up to somebody and go, here's that music, you wanted to hear. I wrote you that music here. And they would give them that. And they wouldn't play it, would they? Because if they played it, it would sound terrible. Because it would be so random. Right? Sometimes a musical version of a name is a subtle reference in a piece of music, says Code. You know, if you were writing this as fiction and you said, I'm going to call the guy Code, it'd be so obvious. You know, it's not a metaphor. It's not enough. It's just too blatantly stupid to call the guy Code. That's like, imagine you decide to do a bunch of stories about a secret agent, and you name him Ed Spy. Right? Spy said. I'm hiding. I'm in disguise, Spy said. Right? It's stupid. The subtle reference in the piece of music, often it is prominent. It is the main theme of the piece and is heard over and over. In that case, whether or not you know exactly how the composer translated the name into musical pitches, it is obvious that it is meant to be heard. Whew. This is doing crazy things to my left and right side of the brain in terms of comprehension. These composers wanted to leave traces of themselves. Here we go again. It's more unproofed internet text. Don't they proofread it? Okay. Bad enough the English is bad enough. It's bad enough the English is bad enough. These composers wanted to leave traces of themselves, and they were not secretive about it. Wait a second. What do you mean they're not secret? This is supposed to be a secret message. If it's not secret, why would you do it in this contrived alphabet of musical notes? They wrote about it or told people what they were doing. They didn't mind if interested onlookers found their cryptograms. Now this is getting more and more ridiculous. I never read these things before. I talk about them on the air. You know that. If you didn't know that, you know it now. I read this as I go along and you get my impression as I go along. And right now, the left side and the right side of my brain, that is the left side, the calculable and the abstract, what is the opposite of the abstract? I don't know. Go get a thesaurus or talk to Mr. Thickness. Thickness and Thesaurus. Ladies and gentlemen, here for Thickness and Thesaurus. Da, 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 da. So, I'll move on to the next paragraph and we'll see. Here you go. We're going to find this. We're going to find this piece, and here's one. Well-recognized music cipher comes from the 19th century German composer Johannes Brahms. We all know Brahms. He's got that H stuck right in the middle of that name there. He included a cryptogram in his 1868 string sextet number 2 in G major. Now, I am going to... Oh, come on. Can I do this? I'm going to look for this in the annals. In the annals of YouTube. Let's go. And then we'll see. We'll read along. We'll read the text as we listen to it. And then they must have it. Because they have everything, don't they? Don't they have everything? No, there are some things they don't have. Here, sextet. This is it. Oh, in G major. Sextet number 2 in G major. Who? Brahms? What? String Sextet, number 2, in G major. Is that? It says Brahms. Here we go. Here we go. Where is it? Brahms Sextet got 49 minutes? Well, we can, here, let's just get an idea of this. Even though it's long, doesn't matter. We'll get an idea of what, here we go. Okay. Now, how do you make a melody out of a message? If the message, right? You know what I'm saying? How do you? Okay. This is, what is this? Again? Oh, Johann Brahms. String Sextet number 2 in G major, which is also Opus 36. Okay, so there's a taste of that, right? Here's what it says. In the summer of 1858, a 24-year-old Brahms fell madly in love with Agatha von Seibold, a 23-year-old music director and vocal student of Brahms' friend, Mr. Grimm, Otto Grimm. Okay. He fell in love with her and he said, "We're getting married." She said, "All right, I got nothing to say about this." Because it's 1858 and women mean nothing. They quickly set plans for marriage, but in January 1859, there's a year later, he broke off the engagement to focus on his music. He said, "Now listen, I can't be mad." And he's saying this in German, I guess. "I can't, you won't, while talking to Schwung, get stagnant, get music out and just informed." What that means is he's saying, "I can't be married to you." He's saying, "I can't be married to you and do my music. So, though I fell in love with you, this is Shabunga. Shabunga? Anyway, he yelled at her and she said, she cried. I don't know how to cry in German, so I guess. So he breaks off the engagement. Focus on the music. Hey, I got a photo of this guy, and I got to tell you something. He is brutal. His looks are brutal. He's got the long beard. He looks like this father of a ZZ Top guitar player. Anyway, von Seibold later married. Really? Von Seibold? Oh, she married. But Brahms remained a bachelor until his death. Then what? And then he got married? What? That's just bad writing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to editorialize. Let's stick on the subject. I just can't help it. I get nuts. Because if someone's going, he gets nuts. Have you heard this guy through the years? So anyway, he remained a bachelor, and then he died. And so he never was married. But he still longed for her. See, that's, until he died and then he still longed for her. Okay, okay. Anyway, Brahms incorporated the notes, so he was still longing for her, even after he broke up. That's what she's trying to say with this writing, which in itself may be cryptic, because I'm not following. Just badly placed words. The thoughts are perplexing. So he writes this thing, obviously before he dies. He's a bachelor, he still loves, he thinks of her, and he says, "I'm going to write this thing." And the notes, he incorporates the notes, A-G-A-H-E. Now, there are no H notes, but apparently in this concoction of this alphabet that they make up, there's an H somewhere. Because you have to have, you can't go A through A. All your words would have to be A through G. You can't do that. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So the A, E, I, O, U, there's vowels missing and everything. So anyway, he incorporated the notes A, G, A, H, E in bars 162 to 168. So for 6 bars in the first movement of his sextet, oh, B, natural, in German, is the note H. I didn't know that. I learned that now. Okay, so that's how that worked. The letter T is not included because it's not a musical note. So B, natural. Oh, see, that's how they had to do it, because B sharp, which is a C, but let's say C sharp, you have to have some kind of symbol for the C, because it's called C. C sharp is called the C. Let's look at D. D has a D. D sharp is an E flat. Two of them are the same. So yeah, so I see it why they had to screw around with the H and letter. I see how they did that when they made up the cryptic alphabet. Now I understand that, and I hope you do, because I'm moving on. The letter T is not included in the music. Okay, so there's no T. According to a BBC radio host named Tom Service, it's better than code. Not better, I mean, it's more believable. The motif is played at the piece's greatest and most aching release, likely signaling Brahms' heartache. In a letter to his friend, Brahms wrote, quote, "By this work, I have freed myself of my last love." So what did he do? Did he tell people? Did he play this for her and say, "This is for you"? And what? I wish I could find on this 162 through 168. There's no way to find it. I mean, not without the music in front of me. I'm not going to count. I'm going to sit here and count. And I'm not that good at doing this. I know musical nomenclature and I can use it, but I'm not that smart. It's just the most aching. Is this the most aching thing? So in other words, or in these very words again, here's the deal. What they're saying is that, let's say it's around this part. This is signaling Brahms' heartache. See, he's found specific notes to signal his heartache. Now, people, you know, why he didn't just call it, he didn't want to signal his heartache loudly or loud enough or clearly enough so that, what was her name? Georgette? No, it wasn't Georgette. What was her name? Giddy? Agathe von Siebold. Let's call her Aggie. He didn't want Aggie to know. Although he could have just written a beautiful piece and said, "This is for Aggie." Or he could have took Aggie aside and said, "This is for you, because I will always love you. And I'll be a bachelor until I die. Then Moses knows what I'll be. I'll be a bachelor." And bingo. I don't think he said bingo, because the game wasn't invented, so the word didn't find its way into the excitable lexicon of words that mean what ha, what ho, voila, which is French in itself. So he had to do this. The short musical monogram is now called a Bach motif. Oh no, wait, I went, I left. Wait, well before Brahms. Let's forget about Brahms now. Brahms, be gone. Johann Sebastian Bach spelled out his own name in compositions using a succession of the notes B-A-B-H, which is B-A-B-B, be natural. B-A-B-B, no, B-A-C, I wish I could run over to the piano and do that. I don't have a piece of music thing with me. An instrument here. Okay, so if you use the notes, if you have a piano and you know notes, if you don't, I don't know, get somebody who does and punch out, I don't know what timing, but just punch out B-A-C-B. That's a B, of course it's B natural. Sounds like, say, C sharp, it'd be the same thing. B-A-C-B. The short musical monogram is now called a Bach motif, and Bach wove the name in various pieces, such as his final work, The Art of Fugue. Let's see if we can find The Art of Fugue, and we will get a musical example. The Art, here. The Art of Fugue, F-U-G, it's here, Bach. This YouTube is amazing, and this is still free. Here is, here, Oh, God, it's an hour? I actually have it in front of me. They have the music in front of me. They have. Bach, The Art of Fugue, 1 hour. Here's some guy playing it. Who is this? Die Kunst der Fugue. That's it called. Die Kunst der Fugue. Art of the Fugue. Solokov, Bach. Okay, let's just, this goes on forever, but let's hear what they're talking about here.
The emperor is back in his
kingdom.
This is the story.
You don't need a Hulu commercial here. We're just going to skip this ahead and move on. Here we go. Now, listen to this for a second. It's an hour and 30, but this was Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach's last musical composition. That's what we're saying. And it says here that this short monogram is now called a Bach motif, where he uses the four cryptic notes, the four notes that cryptically become to spell his name, B-A-C-H, which is B-A-C-B, because H is B. So somewhere in The Art of the Fugue, this very piece that's being played right now on the Godfather of Internet Radio show, or as Amadeus Mozart would call it, Selkintor Olatok. It's going to have to be a hard C. S-E-L-C. Kelsinork. Olatok. Now I said it different if I pronounce it different. This is The Art of Fugue. And it includes in it the Bach motif. So he spells out his name in notes because why? I don't know. Brahms' close friend and romantic era composer Robert Schumann also integrated music cryptograms into his composition. These guys, why? That's what's missing here, the why. This is not espionage. I took four letters that spell my name. If you look at the notes, what kind of super secret thing is that? Listen to this. It gets even weirder. Schumann integrated music cryptograms into his composition. Schumann played the cryptograms A-S-C-H. A-S-C-H and C-A-S-C-H-A in a piece he called Carnival. In German nomenclature, E flat equals to S and A flat equals to AS. And it's a small s. Now I'm lost again. The three codes, and that's not the people who live with the guy code, the code family would be the codes. If there was more than just Robert Code, there'd be, okay. So the three codes represent the name of his then fiance birthplace of Asch, Germany, which is now Czechia. The second is the German spelling of Ash to honor the Christian holy day of Ash Wednesday, which is coming up, right? Or was that yesterday? That was yesterday. The final cryptogram is selected letters from his name. Why? As music, there's no explanation. I'm thinking that what this is all about is that there's this conspiracy theory involved in this. Cause she starts off talking about it, like writing about it as if it's like the spies can use, these composers were like spies, transferring, sending messages through notes and music during war or peace or illicit affairs, but it's not. It didn't happen. That's not what it... Who is this now? The musical styles involved in the 20th century music composers such as Ravel? Ravel's Bolero. Let's look that one up. And I know you will know this musical piece. Even if you know nothing about Ravel's Bolero, okay. Even if you know nothing about classical music, you'll know this. Listen. I know, it's a beat, okay. You'll know it. Ravel's Bolero. Bolero is a dance. Right? How many times have you heard this? Cartoons, music, as music in, oh God, this goes on for 14 minutes too. Now I'm looking at Ravel. He looks like a like a 1940s CBS news guy. I say 40s guy, I couldn't say TV because there was no TV until the late 40s. This is Ravel's Bolero. So Ravel, was one of the composers who did this. So somewhere in here is a message of some sort, I guess. What is it? Dance, dance? What? Let's dance? Also Debussy? And, Shostakovich continued experimenting with musical motifs, some up to 26 notes, to spell out their names and compositions. Maybe that's what she meant when she said they wanted to be no traces of them left behind. But how would we know? Ravel is written out in here? What is the difference between just saying, giving him credit for the musical piece? What, if you lose the musical piece, or if we were to lose, if civilization were to change and we'd lose the name of the person who wrote this, then how would they be remembered if we didn't know the cryptography that they used? Ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, ay. I wonder where that originated. Whew. Let me move on here. See if there's anything else. What if you want to create your own composition with a hidden message? Okay, here, now we're going to get excited. Aren't we? By the way, my name is Frank Catolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Catolo Chronicles, or what? Let's look at it again. Selkinork Olatok. Selkinork Olatok. See, say it over and over again. That's how you learn. This is why I was never good at acting. Really? Is that why, Frank? Because you couldn't remember the word? Yeah, I couldn't memorize my lines. Different in music. I just make up lyrics as I go along. For some reason or another, I have a talent to do. I have the talent to make them up, go along, and rhyme. I have this weird gift. And yet, to memorize them, bingo. And there's bingo again. Now, let's see what she says about this. You want to create your own musical composition with a hidden message. Or a shout out to a friend? It's possible. How would that happen? But they have to know. Well, am I missing something completely? Mr. Code has developed a site, and there's a site called Solfa Cipher. SolfaCipher. This is the site. I guess she means website. When you say site now, you're supposed to know they mean website. It turns text into singable melodies. Rather than use 26 different pitches for each letter of the alphabet, Solfa Cipher maps letters onto only 7 notes of a musical scale, which is do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. Combined with unique durations. What? The site also includes a decoding grid and a tool. I'm looking at it right now. It's a decoding crib and a tool. Anybody who would like to read this article yourself, I mean, and, you know, slowly, without my commentary and crazed emotions, you can write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com, and I'll send you the link. Oh boy, if you're more interested in cracking codes, there are cryptography groups that exist too. I'd like to go to the ball game tonight, Brad, but I got a meeting of my cryptography group. Why secret messages? I've been asking this of God for years. What's the big secret? Okay. Last year, some professional and student cryptanalysts, I can't say it, cryptanalysts. I guess it's cryptanalysts. These are people who deal in cryptography. They met at an applied cybersecurity contest, an event called NorthSec Conference in Montreal. Among the challenges created by NorthSec, an encoded SOLFA, cipher, which the attendant solved using an encryption key that is defined by four elements. A clef, a tonic, a mode, and a rhythmic unit. That's right. You heard me first. You heard it here first. It's a clef, a tonic, a mode, and a rhythmic unit. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the magnificent quartet, the cryptographer. That's the name of the group, right? The cryptanalysts. Let's hear it for them. Here they are, a clef, a tonic, a mode, and a rhythmic unit. There's a blog called Infected Packages by Jonathan Rassicott. And in it, he wrote the participants then translated using an English language translation matrix. Oh, boy. I've lost the entire audience. I know now that I'm speaking to no one. This is madness, I think. Whether a musical cipher encodes a composer's name or a more complex message, for most music theorists and cryptographers, decrypting is not always the desired trophy. Sometimes the thrill is knowing that the music holds intricate patterns and meanings that are beyond deciphering. That's music! Wow! I would have written that story completely different because it had these elements in there that don't matter. And you've got to understand. Well, let me see. If that was published somewhere. See, I don't know. Is this published somewhere that people, I know where this came from. There's a wonder. I'm going to give you an idea of where to find this anyway. AtlasObscura.com. AtlasObscura. OBSCURA.com. And every day they send a whole bunch of stories. You know, it's one of those things you subscribe. To which you subscribe. And you get all these weird stories. And they are weird. That's weird. Right? I mean, that's not just weird. And it's like, it could have been written better so that it was, and it could have been shorter. But holy Christmas. And I mean Easter. Atlas Obscura is just wonderful. There are some, you know, you'll never get every day four or five articles that you'll just love and read all of them. I say that and I don't know that. Maybe you will. But you will get some very fabulous, crazy stories like this. If you want to subscribe, I guess go there and subscribe. Oh, look at this. Atlas Obscura is a strange place. Look at this. Top destinations. Of what? What is this? Top destinations. These are things that are all around the world. Countries, India, Italy, Germany, where you could find out, read about these obscure things. Now, this didn't necessarily fit into what I was going to play from April. There's only what? Let me lower this here. From April, let me see where I was at this particular point in the show on April 21st, 2011. If I go right now to, what time? Let's say, okay, 45. I say 15 minutes away from the end of the show, right? Which would be where? Would be what? It would be 1 hour 28. No, it would be 1 hour 45, right? 1 hour 37, 1 hour 41, 1 hour 41, 1 hour 42. I know, right? 44, 58. Here it is. Let's see where I was at this particular time in that show, because I don't think it would relate at all to what this show talked about how the music affects the brain, without cryptography or trying to figure out anything. I mean, the very sound of music. The hills are alive. Let's see where I am.
What happened to Morris Albert? What kind of pants did he wear?
Teardrops.
What? Teardrops and feelings. You know, this is a good time. I can't do it over... Rolling down on my face. Okay, all right, that's it. I can't do it over
I don't know
singing,
what,
you know?
I don't know what I'm doing there. I see. Music affecting feelings. Is that what I was doing? Now I got to move ahead of it.
iPod and your ibuprofen, wherever you listen. Don't listen to that. When you see someone live playing music...
Here we go. Listen.
You watch them play. You say, oh, I love this song. They're going to do this song. I've seen them do this song live. You know, people go to see groups and artists over and over and over again. Watch the different way that they interpreted the same piece each time. Something else is happening. It's never the same, okay? So here's what happens. What did they do? Boom, 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 boom. Each key. The pianist's recording, in this case, became a blueprint, what researchers considered to be the 100% musical rendition. Okay? Then they start tinkering with this stuff. A computer calculated the average loudness and length of each note that the professor played. The researchers created a version using those average values so that the music sounded homogeneous and evenly paced. With every eighth note, quick note, like bup, 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 like that, every eighth note held for an identical amount of time, each quarter note precisely double the length of an eighth note, because that's what a quarter note is, okay? So what they're doing is, they're doing this mechanically. They're not, and you know, you must have heard mechanical music. Computers create mechanical music. I forgot what that used to be called in the beginning when we had these keyboards, and they used to be able... I forgot what that was called, where you would program this thing and the notes would be exactly right. Okay, so in other words, an eighth note was an eighth note. And there's no way that an eighth note bled over to be a little bit longer or less, okay? So that was the blueprint. That's how they started tinkering, okay? Then they created other versions, a 50% version, with note lengths and volume halfway between the mechanical average and the original. Okay, you following this now? Okay, I'm saying that these are just different versions. Okay, you don't have to be a musician or even be a well-versed, technically, music reading musician to understand this. These are different versions. They did version at 100% where everything was exactly the same. Then they changed it to 50% where things changed. Then they also did 25%, 75%, and even 125% and 150%. Faster, slower, moving around, okay? And then... the pianist's loudest notes and longest held notes got longer with the other, okay, with 150%. Okay, so they got these different versions of the same piece, okay? This is the same piece. Then what happened? Study subjects listened to these pieces, the versions. They listened. They got people, study people. People, come on in, listen to this. Here's a 50, they didn't tell them. Here's a 50% version. Here's this 175% version. So here are versions of the same piece, and they're being played at different times. And the notes are being held different ways, and the interpretation is a bit different. Okay. So, here's what they did. They rated, the subjects listened to them in a random order, and they rated how emotional each sounded. So the people were sitting there listening, going, well, you know, that's that was real good, and that really had a punch to it, and that had this to it, okay? And this was fascinating. The musicians and the non-musicians who were parts of the study found the original pianist's performance most emotional and the averaged version least emotional. Everyone had the same reaction. That's fascinating. Okay. But it was not just changes in the volume and the timing that moved them. Versions with even more variation than the original, like at 125% and 150%, did not strike listeners as more emotional. Now here's what the doctor, this is the Indian doctor, said. He said, I think it means that the pianist is very experienced in using these expressive cues. He's using them at kind of an optimal level. Random versions with volume and note length changes arbitrarily sprinkled throughout made almost no impression.
Wow.
Almost no impression.
Talk with myself here since I've...
So what? When these versions
now I'm just,
were...
Yeah, go ahead. Now I was just playing because what that was doing, let me just say this and not play the rest of that. Those were experiments in how the music was played and what reactions various forms, speeds, loudness, and renditions of a piece affected people. Affecting them not, see, there's nothing academic about this. That was the cryptography is academic. You really can't, if you're looking for a message or you're trying to figure out notes, what was that? It's a strange place. I don't know. That was a weird sound. It sounded like something snapped up. Might have been me. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying this really went awry. That's what I'm saying. I did not put this together. I mean, it's fascinating. The music cryptography thing is okay, right? That's all right. But all in all, it was more fun listening to Ray talk about the end of the world at the beginning of the show. My name is Frank Atolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show, which I can't even remember backwards. So don't. What do you get out of this? It could relate to the other things we talk about when we talk about metaphors, allegories, allophores, and metagories, and other various literary devices, themes. Oh, male. Themes. And what could that be? Another piece of junk that I got here. In that composers, it wasn't enough for these guys, but you gotta remember, I really don't understand it. You know, it's hard to put yourself into the mindset of somebody who didn't have all the input that you have in your time. This is why actors are brilliant at what they do when they play someone from another time. And why sometimes they stink because they play someone from another time. We've talked about this before. How legends are recreated on television today using today's language, using jargon from and buzz terms from today's culture. And yet, so it's like when they did, they could do the Legend of Hercules. And that is a legend. Okay, so let's not get these people involved. Hercules is a legend. Okay, so it's like if Hercules, the story of Hercules, is being told in a TV or a movie. One more movie of Hercules we need? I don't think so. Let's say that's happening and Hercules says, I was immortal, now I'm mortal. I lived forever, now I'm mortal. Do the math. And so if the character Hercules says, do the math, and you know, it's bad enough, not bad enough, it's awkward, it's off, it's inauthentic enough that Hercules did not speak English. Just like if you see the movie Ben-Hur and, Hawkins. I forgot his first name. He's an actor. And he's playing this Roman general that Ben-Hur saves during a big ship battle. And Aulus, he talks like this. He talks all the Roman generals, and they're all played by English actors. So they have English, British accents, which they did not have, even though Britain was taken over at one point by Rome. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So if you're going to play someone, if you're an actor and you're going to play someone, it's pretty difficult to put your head around what you can't say, shouldn't say, because you'll break right through the authenticity and it'll become inauthentic. So that is the perfect example, is the Hercules thing. Or if you're Davy Crockett, you get the examples? I think you do. I think you're getting the examples. We're very close to go next week, or the show, the April 5th show, no matter how you cut it and when you listen to it, will feature good old Marla Martinson. I've got to get her on the Tom Savino Veritas, because he astral projects too. She astral projected. Hell yeah. And he astral projected once, or maybe twice, I don't know. Maybe during the years he didn't, I don't know. Some other thing he did. It's possible. But I'll be here, and hopefully she'll be here, and we'll both be here talking about, she's going to do my angel reading. An angel is going to talk about me, Knarf Olatok. Did I just go over the time? I don't even know. Let's just do this. Okay. Because it's gotta be done anyway. Oh boy. I do apologize if I couldn't make this entertaining. But you know, you do 8 million shows in 20 years, what do you expect? I had fun anyway. I had fun doing stuff, and it was great to hear Ray at 11 years old. Go buy the books at Amazon, at lulu.com, and at blurb.com. The digital books, you'll love them. And they're going to be worth something a lot more soon. So if you want to buy, I'm almost guaranteeing this, you're going to go and buy the hard copy, the real books, the ones you hold, not the digitals. They may be worth something in the future. My name is Frank Catola, man. His name adorns the title of the show. If you're listening to the live stream, keep listening. It's going to even get better. Yes, it is. It's going to get better. In the meantime, in between time, be good to each other. Be good to other people. And if you get angry, yell at them. Nope. Yeah, I'm going to do a whole show on passive aggressive. I am. I'm going to do that because I hate the whole idea of it. But more ideas flow through my head and out into the streets. Good night, this is Ernst Weil, wherever you may be located. We've said everything we had to say. I can't say it, and I'm not going to say anymore because I have nothing more to say.